This is Dwan Reese King conducting an interview for the West Indian Carnival Documentation Project. Today's date is August 18th, 1994, and I am here interviewing Randy Brewster. It is Mass Camp, and we'll start off the interview with just some preliminary questions. Mr. Brewster, can you tell us where you were born?
I was born in Trinidad, the island of Trinidad and Tobago. Mm-hmm. I was born there. I came to the United States in 1961, and I resided here since 1961 to now.
Okay. When did you first get involved in the West Indian Carnival here in Brooklyn?
That was a couple of years ago. That was the first year when they came on Eastern Parkway. They was going anti-clockwise down to Rochester. Mm-hmm. That's the first time when I get involved in it. And from since that to now, I've been involved.
Okay. Can you tell us a little bit how you're involved? I'm sitting here and looking at all the variety of costumes and everything, but just for the record, what do you do?
Well, I'll be honest with you, my real job, I'm a dental technician. Mm-hmm. But this is part of my culture. I brought it with me and I'm staying with it because I observe that what is taking place right now all over the world, the carnival atmosphere is popping up all over the world. Right now in the United States, in every state right now has a festival. So the culture is growing to a very high climax. And as I see it, it's something is not going to die. It's just going to go on and keep on going because this is something we have to hand down to the younger generation. It's a very, very important culture for anyone to get into because there's wire skill, there's copper, there's art. Everything that's surrounding you, there's art into it.
How long has your group been in existence?
Well, I have been in existence with the black culture right now, I will say it's about 8 years since I started the culture of black creation.
Okay. Can you tell me what it took to start the group?
No, really and truly, when I started this, when I name it the culture of black creation, when I look around me and I see what was happening, everybody who was around me was only black individual like myself. So I said, well, since we are the black individual who put in this culture together, so I came up with the idea, the culture of black creation. And since that, we've been using the name the culture of black creation because it say a lot and it mean a lot.
Mm-hmm. So how did you get started? I mean, how does one start out? I mean, what did you do when you were in Trinidad? How were you involved in Carnival then?
Well, really, when I started out, my first event in Carnival was Plain Indian. Mm-hmm. This is fantasy Indian I started out with. And really, when I was a kid, I used to go around by the different mass camp and watch them stick on things. And when I get back home, I used to go and take a little piece of cloth and tie it around my waist and try every little thing. Mm-hmm. And so I really get involved in it. It's a friend of mine who really get me involved in it. Because at that time, he came around and started asking the parents and different things to let the kids and them play. And so we started out. In fact, so I started out. And from that, I continue getting involved in it. And so far, I've never stopped.
Mm-hmm. So when you started out, what was the first thing you needed to do? Just have the space or have the idea, or do you have to start out with a certain degree of capital? Or
no, when in Trinidad, most of the time, if you're starting out, most of us start out on a small basis. Some of us start out on a big basis. If you're starting out on a big basis, that means to say you need like a backyard or a room, something to build whatever it is you're going to construct. If you're not doing that, it maybe you can do it in your bedroom, the living room, downstairs under the house, any part you can do it if you're not doing that on a big basis. But when I started out on a small basis. So I really didn't need any type of capital or anything to start it out. My father is the one who gave me the couple dollars and tell me go and buy what I have to buy. And so I started out. And from that, it was a non-stop because every year I have to get involved.
Mm-hmm.
because you don't start something and every time you pass down the road, you hear the steel band practicing, you see different material hanging up, it starts to give you that fever, that carnival atmosphere fever. So that's the way I really get going. Mm-hmm. And when I came here in the United States, I really brought it with me, because when I start traveling around and I started to see the different store with the different type of fabric, it was a non-stop, and I get right back involved.
Mm-hmm. So tell me, what's your theme this year?
Well, this year we are playing tribes. The tribe is based on Indian, African, Aztec, Egyptian. This is the team that we are doing this year.
Mm-hmm. How do you come up with your ideas? I mean, or what? Can you tell me a little bit what the process would be? Like, when would you start planning, or when did you start planning for this year's carnival? How do you decide what your theme is going to be? What kind of research do you do?
Really and truly, what has happened during the course of the line? Most of the time, for instance, like we might be working here now,
mm-hmm.
all right? And Jackie might come up with the idea and say, look, we're going to play such and such next year. So long as the team is made, we're going to stick with it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what has happened most of the time, we might come up with a team in here with no one else except myself and Jackie in here knows what we're planning.
Oh,
all right?
Okay.
What has happened most of the time, somewhere along the line, somebody has come up with a team similar to it.
Oh, all right.
All right. Because they never heard that what we were planning to do. But somewhere along the line, when as the summer starts to approach and you hear everybody start releasing what they want to do, then it's something similar to what we already planned. So we cannot go back on it because Jackie already started doing the sketch and everything, so we cannot go back on it. Because it's not to say like we went to different meetings or anything and we heard what each one is doing. No, it's nothing like that. So this is where it started. It started with an idea. Everything with the idea and what you have on your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere along the line, sometimes you might go into a book for research.
Mm-hmm.
But most of it, what you're doing, sometimes you comes up with fantasy and you try to bring it to reality.
Mm-hmm.
Because you might have something on your mind, and if you don't want to bring it to reality, you can't. So it just remains a fantasy. So what happened here, that idea was born the early part of last year. I think we came up with that idea.
Okay.
All right. Okay. And it was played around, till it started to come out to reality right now. Right now it's still fantasy, until
okay.
it hit the street.
Okay.
When it hit
okay.
the street, then it...
So what stage are you at right now as I look around?
Well,
2.5 weeks, 2 weeks?
Well, we're still in a working stage.
Okay.
Right
okay.
now, and when I mean a working stage, it's a big working stage. Because right now, I'm working on the floor members.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And as you observed, Jackie behind you, he's constructing part of the king costume.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
So when you think you can interview him, because that's the guy you have to talk to.
Okay.
So as you notice, that is the raw wire you're seeing there.
Right.
In the art form.
Right.
And from that, then the process goes through that I will have to carry you around and show you exactly how the process really goes. I don't know if you've ever been into one like this.
Uh-huh.
But this is behind the scene of Black Creation.
Okay.
You don't get people to come in. That's why you see we have two security around here, two
uh-huh.
guards.
Uh-huh.
All right? Because you see, I will enlighten you on what has happened. Years ago in Trinidad, the king and queen, it still remained a secret.
Okay.
No one does not know what the king portrayed.
All right.
All right. Only way that you're going to get that information, as we used to call him, your spy come in. He willing that he come in and help him. But he's just coming around for a couple
look.
Days to find what you're doing. Then after he can just slack off and you won't see me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get to understand he's with the next mask yam. Because
uh-huh.
he went and carried back that information, what we are doing, the colors we are using, and how we are constructing it. That used to go on years ago.
Okay.
Now, it have changed a great deal. but you still cannot see the king and queen.
Okay.
You can let you walk into a mass camp, but only thing you're going to see is the floor members.
All right.
You see all the pictures and everything, but you would not see none of the characters drawing, except they want to sell those characters drawing.
Uh-huh.
But the king and queen, you would not see it.
Is that pretty standard in most camps?
In every camp, you would not see it.
It's competitive,
yeah, I can imagine. That's what I was
because
just asked, the degree of competition.
Because if you're going to have a competition,
right?
All right, you would not like to release, like, if a person is playing poker and he have an ace in the hole, he doesn't want to turn it up to
show
everybody.
Sure.
So you have to keep that in the hole. So it's almost the same thing, that you have to keep your ace in the hole until that day when you release it. Then people will say, boy, I think this costume looking a better than mine, or whatever the case may be. But when it goes the way you portray your costume.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you have visual of impact. You have workmanship. You have all these things that if the judges do the right way, then they know exactly what they're looking for and how to judge a costume.
What do the judges look for? What do you think they should be looking for?
Well, you see, most of the time they tell you they're looking for visual impact on a costume.
Uh-huh.
All right? Sometimes a costume have it, but some of the judges is blind to it. Some they tell you they're looking for workmanship on a costume, some of them is blind to it. They tell you portray of a costume, the way you portray the costume, the spirit of carnival, and most of the time, sometimes they're blind to it. So you really does not know what they're really looking for.
Hmm.
Because you might have everything going for you, and when you figure out, well, you have it, because you look around you and you look at the rest of the costumes, and you tell yourself, you haven't got a costume here to beat this costume.
This is the year.
All right? You have the impact, you have workmanship, you have everything, craftsmanship, you have everything on the costume. But when the time comes, you went on the stage, you portray your costume as beautiful, you get your applause and everything, but somewhere along the line, the judges did not give it to you, they give it to somebody else. When you look at the costume, when you look at the costume, you say, wait a minute, this is the costume that beat me? It's next to nothing. So that kind of pull your spirit down.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're doing something like that, you don't give up your artwork because the judges was biased or whatever the case may be. You don't do that. You continue to go on.
Are there different judges every year?
Well, that one I don't know. Here, I really does not know.
Uh-huh.
You see, in the islands, they give you a judge's sheet.
Okay.
All right? They tell you exactly what the points are. If it's 30 points on visual impact, whatever it is, they tell you exactly on the score sheet.
So you know exactly what they're scoring,
right,
and how much.
Right.
So you.
But here, they don't do it. All right? They tell you, the judge, if you're going in, because you is the one who have to tell them what you enter on. If you're going in under originality or the different categories that they have laid out for you on the score sheet, this have to be filled out and sent back into them ahead of time. So it will be in front of each judges. When the name of the costume is called, they know exactly what score sheet they'll be looking for to start putting the points under.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Really and truly, here, I don't know. Because we make some costume here. And I would not say it in a way, when we finish with this costume, we carry them all over. All right? And if you see this costume up to now, they're standing in good foundation. If you go by anybody else and you ask them, can I see some of your costume from the previous year, they cannot show it to you. If they do show something, you'll say, nah, it was by such and such, I see better costume than it. How come your costume is not like the other place? You wouldn't tell them that, but you'd say that to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're going to ask you to leave. But to avoid that, you just keep it to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because the artwork here is to come out at your very best. Because if you're going to take this to put it in a museum,
mm-hmm,
you want people to come and admire it.
Right.
You just want people to just pass by and
not look at it.
You want them to stop and look at it and continue going along the line. But here, we have a private museum in here. because every piece of work that we do here, we try to save it, because we never can tell what might happen 1 year. Person might come and say, well, listen, I get to understand you all have some beautiful costume, we like to purchase from you, or we like to work with it, whatever the case may be, we have it.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And it's something that I would like to hold on to, but one of my problems is sooner or later I have to get out of here. So what's going to happen to it? I have to destroy it. I will show it to you in a while. I will show you what I'm speaking about. But like we were saying and we were discussing concerning the way the judges and the bands go along. You see, the judges, I cannot say what the judges is looking for. Because if it's colors they are looking for, we give them that. Whatever we figure out they need, there's always have it. But somewhere along the line, I don't know.
Hmm.
I really don't know.
Now, have you ever won the competition?
Yes, I have won several competitions. For Band of the Year, King, came in first, second, you name it, I have done it. With the kids, Band of the Year, second, third, I have done it.
Now, do you go back to Trinidad on a regular basis?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I haven't been to Trinidad in 5 years.
You haven't?
But the gentleman behind you, which is Jackie, he just likes to give BB his money.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay. Well, just an editorial aside, you know, if you ever get to the point where you feel you have to destroy things, that's one of the reasons why the Historical Society is around in interest, because we're also looking for drawings and things that pertain to Carnival, because they're really a part of Brooklyn's history,
mm-hmm.
too. So, you know, just keep that in the back of your mind.
Right.
We have a few materials that we gathered, I think, probably about 6 years ago when we were redoing our permanent gallery. We have a couple of headdresses, at least three, and some sketches and various things that people have donated to keep, you know, to preserve them. But let's talk a little bit about what you do here. Now, do you sketch, you do design, or?
All right.
And how much time you spend doing this? Because you're still working, working your as a dental technician
no,
too?
I'm
okay,
not,
so now
I'm
you have
not.
More time to
no,
do this.
No, really and truly, it's myself and my buddy, Richard Jackie.
Mm-hmm.
This is half and half. We like J Street and Bohoy.
Okay.
And Hoyt
okay.
Eskimo. All right. No, Jackie is the one who do the sketching
okay.
and design and everything. So you'll speak with him and
okay.
you will like him more on it. Now, as I said before, whatever we do, we try to do it ahead of time and do it as neat as possible. And when Jackie is the one, he sits down there most of the mornings and he do the sketching and everything. And we work from there. Sometimes we get together and we plan the color. Sometimes he just go ahead and he do whatever he have to do. Because like I says, it's J. Tristan Bauhall, Hoyt and Skimmer Horn.
Mm-hmm.
At the past one, you have to run it to the next one.
One or the other.
So that's what's happened here. And whatever you all are looking for, we might be able to help you all along that category. Because I have sketches, plus we have a lot of costumes here, which it will hurt me to destroy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Plus, what I'm looking at here, I have to get out of here. So, sooner or later, I have to destroy. As I said, I'll take you around and let you see what it is, so it will give you a better picture of what I'm speaking about.
Okay.
And I know when you leave here and you get back here, you'll have to call your boss. You will have to call him and say, well, listen, I went to that place. I think that's a supper idea. We're not going any further. And you'll be very happy when you leave here today to say, well, look, why we couldn't find this guy before. I know what I'm saying.
Okay.
Because if you observe,
yes,
that
see.
Copper piece here.
Uh-huh.
All right? That's the gentleman who did the design on that. He did everything on that.
It's beautiful, from what I can see from here.
And there's a lot more you will see. And we wouldn't show you nothing for this year. We leave that as a secret.
Okay, that's all right. I'll see it. Come.
No, you have to go to Trinidad and see it.
Oh, Trinidad. You so do you go back? Trinidad.
No, oh. This one. All right, let me explain you what is happening here with this, what we're doing here. We is involved with the Westchester Carnival that they have in Westchester.
Mm-hmm.
After Labor Day, we goes up to Westchester. Westchester, I'm representing Westchester for the King and Queen competition they're having in Trinidad this year.
Okay. Okay. Right?
So the costume that you're seeing being made here now, you would not be seeing it.
And now I follow you.
All right. It will be going straight from here, creating out in the yard, and it will be going on the plane to Trinidad. It's three costumes which will be coming out of here will be heading that direction.
Okay.
So what will happen, maybe we'll get some pictures back to you when we come back from Trinidad. You might see Blop in Trinidad. This is the costume that one king.
Okay. All right.
So after that, it might be going over to Switzerland or someplace.
Okay. So this is right after Labor Day that you're preparing for.
Because we'll be going to Westchester, which is the 11th. I'm doing a show on the 10th with New England Foundation of the Arts. Mm-hmm. I'm doing a show with them on the 10th.
Okay.
And after that, we'll be getting ready to ship everything out of here. I might ship it before, right after Labor Day, I might be shipping it out of here. All right. But so far, it would not be seen on the parkway.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well kept secret.
You're not figuring out the competition is in Trinidad. You're not getting
involved
with the camp in the park or something. They see the costume maybe
on
the TV, in the show in Trinidad.
Oh, okay.
Is it the unfair or Westchester?
All right.
Put the costume
and then do that. Yeah, I understand.
Because let's say that I enter the competition here, all right, and I win. All right. What will happen then, they will have to, because I will have to go to them, Franco, and say, well, listen, I win. I know I won the competition, but you'll have to send the second runner-up because I already going into Westchester already, so they'll have to send the second runner-up. So that's the only way you can do it. But to avoid all of that, let everybody have this share because I'm already into the competition already. Because what happened to Westchester, they don't have a competition.
Okay.
So they're just sending somebody to represent them. They don't have a competition.
Okay.
That's what makes it. If they had a competition, then after what will happen, then each individual will have to go and enter the competition, and whoever they chose as the winner, then. But since they don't have a competition, I'm the one who represents them.
So let me see if I'm getting this right. Different carnivals or events, the all people right. who win get entered in it to a larger competition.
Right. What is happening?
The king and queen
of
the world. Okay, yeah. That's why I'm starting to put this all together.
All right, what is happening for this year is the first time they're having this competition is taking place in Trinidad. It's king and queens of the world.
And it's the first time it's going to be in Trinidad?
First time it's being held any part of the world.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
So from Antigua, Jamaica, Barbados, St. Lucia, anywhere that have carnival, they ask to represent, send a representative to the competition. It's a king and queen. Now, whoever win from now towards Labor Day and after Labor Day, the first weekend after Labor Day, they will be still qualified to enter the competition in Trinidad. Last year, after Labor Day, the last one was Florida.
Mm-hmm.
So the winner from last year will be going straight into the competition this year because their carnival is after this thing is taking place in Trinidad. So what they are doing now, that each king and queen, whoever the organization of the foundation, they are the one who to say, well, listen, these are the winner, all the information, the facts are to Trinidad. But I, as an individual, cannot do it on myself.
I see. So it's kind of like sponsorship.
Right. I have to go through the organization.
Right. Right.
All right. Because if they do it that way, everybody will be going.
Right. 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 That was my first question. How many contestants can there be?
They
invited 120 countries.
120.
They didn't have over 75.
Now, how does the United States fit in with different carnivals in one country?
All right. Now, the only one that they can do it right now is the West Indian Carnival Association. That's it for New York.
Okay.
All right. Like you get out of New York, you go to Westchester. You have Westchester Carnival Club.
Okay.
All right. Then every time you go to Boston.
Right. Boston
have their the carnival, whoever organization, they will be sending somebody there.
Miami.
All right. Yes. Everybody will be having a representative.
Okay.
But they have to go through the organization.
All right.
As an individual group, I cannot do it.
Okay. So, okay, now I see what's going on. Okay, I'm back again. We just went on a tour of Randy Brewster's Mass Camp, and I saw a lot of wonderful costumes and things that have been in storage in his basement here. And we are going to finish up the interview with a few more questions. These are just some general questions that I ask people. What is carnival's significance to you?
Well, I'll put it in a nutshell. Well, some people put it in a way that is to let out some of your steam. Some people put it in a way, this is to bring out your culture. And some people put it in a way, this is to really let go. When they mean let go, it's to let out this steam that you had boiling up in you for all this thing. This is your free time.
Mm-hmm.
All right? But I look at it right now in a different context. I look at it as individual bringing out the art that's been hiding in them for the past couple of years. Because I took you into the private museum that we have here, and you have seen some art that some was on the parkway, some people see it and some haven't. And right now, it is very hurtful to see that sooner or later, I will have to destroy some of them. This is art that you really cannot go out there and run into a store and buy. You don't come that cheap, and you don't see it. Right now, there's no place in the United States that have somewhere that anybody can walk off the street and go in and say, let me go and look at the Caribbean Museum. There's nothing like that, and it's very hurtful to see after all these months preparing to see all this artwork go down a drain. Because I cannot say, tell anyone, listen, we need some storage, because no one do that. Because when I look around in Brooklyn and I see all these closed up warehouses and different things, and I ask people, first thing, when you ask them the price that they quote to you all the time is laptop. They're not doing anything with it till the people start breaking and vandalizing it. Then what happens? It becomes abandoned building.
Mm-hmm.
But if we are looking for a space, you're not doing anything with it, well, hey, come on, reasonable and say, well, listen, I'll give it to you for $200, $300 because you're already not going to use it all during the year. But it don't work that way. So it's very hard to see that all this planning goes to waste. Very hopeful. So I really kind of describe it in a way that my input into it right now, because every time I think about destroying this costume, I doesn't want to speak about it.
Hmm.
Because I know you saw what we have in store, And I know you appreciate the artwork that you saw. And my friend, he will explain you a little more than I will.
Okay. Let me ask, you have children, right?
Yeah.
Are they involved in carnival?
Yes, my daughter's involved, yeah.
Okay, and how is she involved?
Well, right now, she started out as usual. She started out when she was 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
In Trinidad, first thing she played was Indian.
Okay.
And that's the mistake that I made. Because when she came back up from Trinidad, she came back out and she was running right around the bed, shunting like an Indian, oh, and making a certain noise. The Sunday we had to go up to Long Island and find where they're selling tomahawk, shaksha, anything concerning Indian for this child. And from that, she'd been involved in the festival. But right now, she's playing the queen of the band this
mm-hmm.
year.
Mm-hmm. Now, how large again did you tell me your band was?
Well, we are catering for about 600 to 700. That's what we're catering for, yeah.
And how many people do you have working here with you?
Right now, it's six of us.
Six of you?
Yeah. But as it's present right now, you're seeing two of us.
Two.
Right.
So six of you are making costumes for 600 people.
Mm.
A little chuckle in the background.
But have you observed the detail that we've gone through with this costume? Some people appreciate and some wouldn't.
I know I asked you some of these questions while we were off tape and going on the tour, but I just wanted to get some things on the record. Have you ever worked with any young people about showing them what you do and teaching them the skills that you've learned?
Yes, I had workshop that I've been doing for the couple of years that I've been involved. This is the first year that I really don't have a workshop.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first year, but every year I really do something with the kids. But not because I haven't got a workshop, but I'm still producing costume for the kids this year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have the kiddies band out there as usual, looking good as usual. And plus that we do workshop besides when it is all over, we still do workshop
mm-hmm.
with the New England Foundations of the Arts.
Right. So how do you function? What's your role come Labor Day? Okay, it's time for the parade. How do you get ready?
Well, really and truly, after each individual picked their costume up, is one word we tell them to meet in Utica and Rochester. That's where everybody gathered from. Because when you, as an individual, leave from where your mass camp is, you have problems.
Mm.
Because sometimes what has really happened, when a truck is leaving, heading to the destiny, you get pushed further and further down the street because the time they leave, they will not let them come through any side street, nothing. They send you straight over to Rochester in the back street and then further to him.
Mm-hmm.
When you do get up there, you might see six or seven other trucks trying to get in. So you start to get filtered for last.
Now, is there an assigned order? Is it first come, first serve?
Well, really what happened, it used to be something like that, but I really does not know what take place in that order up there. I don't want to say they don't have it. I don't want to say yes. But somewhere along the line, what has happened, I think it happened last year, they tried to send most of the advertisement truck all down first and let the costume come right after. So I really does not know if they're going to be doing it in the same order or what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, if anything, is unique about Brooklyn's carnival that's unique to Brooklyn or the West Indian carnival here in Brooklyn opposed to the other carnivals in the United States, opposed to Trinidad or other carnivals you've attended?
How I think about it?
Yeah, do you think anything is unique about it or special? I mean, I know to some degree or to a large degree this carnival is very different than Trinidad's or Miami's, but is there anything because it's in Brooklyn?
All right, I will put it this way. Brooklyn, we have a West Indian background in Brooklyn. I have to put it that way. Now, we have a lot of people here who cannot afford to take the kids and them on trips like to Canada or take them to the island, whatever the case may be. So what we did, we bring the culture to them, the carnival atmosphere to them on the parkway. For parents who's living in the neighborhood, who can walk from the house to the parkway, instead of jumping in the train, let's say if you have 6 kids, you have to pay for each individual. It's not to say to give them a half year or anything like that time. It's nothing like that. Transit going to make money. So what make it good about Brooklyn, that each individual can walk to the parade.
Mm-hmm.
When it is all over, they could take a nice cool walk back home, because the whole family, everybody comes down, they have friends, family, all right? Canada, because I heard a lot of people say, oh, Canada is beautiful and different thing. It is controlled in Canada, and the same is not controlled here.
Mm-hmm.
All right? What happened to Canada? Canada don't get the crowd that we get here.
Right.
All right? Because what happened, it has some people who don't have the requirement to get across the border. They would like to go, but they don't have the requirement to get across the border.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have the requirement to stay right here and just walk up, you're going to come out here. So that's why we have that crowd of people coming out here. The people who can't afford, who have the requirement to get over there, will get over there. So if we take this crowd and say, all right, we're going to open up the doors and let you all go across there, they're going to run into the same amount of people that are running here, they're going to run through. Because everybody would like to see what this is all about. But the problem that lies here in Brooklyn, people does not stay out of the van.
I've heard that time and time again. Right. People are jumping in. And
right. What happened? It happened to me several times that a person will come running through the van. A guy will come down with his bike and riding through the van, which is bad. Now, when you tell him not to do it, he's telling you, hey, take this Caribbean thing and push it someplace else. Alright? This is a part of culture. Not everybody can do it. Because if I give somebody and tell them, put this there, I show it to you, still going to mess it up.
Mm-hmm.
But some people don't appreciate what they're doing. This is nothing like the Macy's Parade. Macy's Parade, you see Macy's Parade, you see a big balloon up in the air. As far as I'm concerned, that is no art. Because a machine put that together. All right?
Well, no, excuse me. I produce the same thing every year. We do.
Right, right. Macy's is all the right? Same thing year after year after year.
So when you see the kids and them enjoying themselves in the Macy's parade, we have to look at this now. This is something new that we is bringing to the people in Brooklyn. So it will take a little time before they could really get the hang of it, and the younger one who born and meet it, they'll appreciate it later on. But the older folks, they would not appreciate it, because the same way, like, all right, my daughter was born here.
Right.
She born, she made Macy's parade.
Mm-hmm.
But she really don't care for it. She would sit down and look at one or two things on it, but she really don't care for it. But if you say costume-wise, and you're hearing that soca music and everything, she ready to shake her leg, but because it don't have the rhythm that she wants.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Because what we have to look at, the Macy's parade and the carnival atmosphere is two entirely different things. What we have out there, as people will know it, is a gumbe, a street festival, which is a carnival atmosphere. When people say Macy's parade, that is parade because you have people marching in order. Come like you have a marching band coming out to the army and the thing. Alright, they have to march in order. With what we have here in Brooklyn is a gumbe, a street festival, where people let loose, enjoy themselves. In the Macy's parade, that's what you have to do. Then you see all these sort of big balloons coming down, one behind the next. This is a parade. But what we have here is a gumbe, a street festival. That's what we have in Brooklyn. And every year, you see something entirely different.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you bring back anything that we produce this year, somebody will have a picture of it and say, I saw that last year. So you cannot do it. You can't even go into a competition with it because somebody going to say, take that thing off of this tree because that was there last year. It comes just like where the culture runs. Calypso, every year they have to make a new tune.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's not like with Benton and all these guys. No, a Calypsonian have to make a new tune every year. And even if you make one, you have to make two or three tunes every year. Because what he sang last year, he cannot come back to push it for people. They don't want to hear that.
Because they're going
to
remember
it. Forget about it. Forget about it. Tell them, they don't want to hear that. And you would not have time to finish that tune because they're going to insult you on the stage. So this is what makes the culture atmosphere so beautiful. Because the changing of the costumes, new design, the Calypso is new, the steel guys, bands, have to play these tunes, and every year they come up with different arrangements. So this is what makes this culture so powerful. We, as black people, does not know what we're holding on the palm of our hand. This is Cecil B. DeMille's. Look at here. You see the wrong here? This is it right here. If he see what we doing, he's going to find out what school we went to. There was no schooling in this. There's no schooling in this. This comes natural as you go on. Some people was born with the art, some was not. Some people might born with a perfect study hand skill to do a lot of designing. Some is not. So this is one of the culture that I will have to live with the rest of my life.
Of all your talents, what is your favorite thing to use as far as you've discovered in working with your band? What's the thing that brings you the most joy?
Well, the most joy that I get working with the kids. All right? The reason why I said working with the kids, what has happened when you were interview as an individual working with kids? When you accomplish something and you're watching the project in front of you, you admire it. Alright? When you put on these costumes on the kids on that day, because when the night time comes, they don't sleep. They lie down sleeping, they're trying to sleep, but they can't sleep because they're anxious to put on these costumes to come out there. Mommy, what time it is? Mommy, what time it is? And they'll keep on going the whole night. Until when they look through the window, they start to see daylight. Mommy, let's get out of here, because they are anxious.
Right.
All right?
Right.
Because you don't promise a child a costume and don't give it to them, because it happened to me several times. The parents come, they say they're going to get them involved, they never bring them back. So as the time is getting close, they come down to me, and they come through the door. Uncle Randy, where's my costume? The mother stay on the outside, but she send the child inside and say, go and talk to your Uncle Randy. So when they come in there, I say, well, I have no costume here. The child go through the door crying. So what I have to do now, I have to tell them, come back, I'll try and see what I can do. But this is my joy, working with the kids. Because what happened, during the course of the kiddies carnival, let's say a new stamp on the street speaking and the kids coming down.
Mm-hmm.
What will you do if you see some kids coming down? You're going to move aside and let them pass. All right? If you stand in the street and adults coming down, you're going to stand right and let them pass around you. So that's the difference between the kids. Even if you see some kids coming up from a school and you stand there, first thing you can do, you're going to step aside and let them pass. But if you see the adults come, you're going to stand there and let them pass around you. So you see the difference, having the kids involved and having the adults. The kids, all they need from you, soda, something to eat and some water, and give them the music, that's all they want. The adults, they might want to get a drink and different things, but the kids, that's why I love working with the kids. That's my joy right there.
Okay. Well, I think we're going to close this portion of the interview. If you have anything else you'd like to say
Well, only thing I would like to say to you and your organization, all I can say is welcome aboard, and I hope working with you all as close as possible to achieve whatever you all have to achieve. And in my closing point, I need somebody to give me a workshop. Thank you.
Okay, well, this concludes the interview. I really thank you for allowing me to interrupt your day, and I really appreciate you taking me around. This is very illuminating and some fantastic costumes, and I look forward to seeing things in the parade and hearing about the king and queen costumes, which I can't see since it's a secret. But this has ended the interview now.